make it a bit more equitable to the next two generations. We are a room full of millennials and then the next gen. So I'm Kaylee Beecham, that's Kelly Johnson, and Abby Boston. So our agenda real quick, the usual scope and approach, go through the Fanvolution report they gave last year, quick platform analyses, and then the full digital audit. Through that digital audit, you'll see some best practices, and then at the very end, we'll touch on some key takeaways. So scope, we were going to analyze every single thing the New York Giants did, and then decide whether or not it was appealing to the next generation of fans. So to do that, what we did was we broke down the football year into eight different seasons for us to kind of make sure we touched on all the different areas that you guys operate in. And then we examined all the Giants' content during each of those time periods. We looked at the pros and cons of each of their assets in those spaces, and then provided best practices that they can implement moving forward. So this was how we broke it down. You know, you start with a draft, you've got off-season, training camp, preseason, the whole season, followed by playoffs, what we deemed bowl season. You got the Pro Bowl, the Senior Bowl, all that, and then the combine. So to do that, we start with Fanvolution.
Yeah, so as Mike was saying, I'll go through a bit of the demographics of the millennials and the Gen Z generations. As for demographics, it's kind of a comparison here. So we have born 1980 and 1994 for millennials to 1995 to 2010 for Gen Z. Millennials make up 25% of the population, while Gen Z is 17%. Our generation grew up with computers. Gen Z, they've grown up with touchscreen devices. That's all known. And then millennials, we're likely to delay marriage and really focus on the family after we get our education and really push that back a few years. And then Gen Z, they're really identified as kind of a blended population generation, so a lot more racially diverse individuals in this generation. Looking here, we have the millennials who tend to be more socially minded.
The laptop's fine, it's this screen. Technology, man. What's going on? My So we'll start with Facebook. Here's where you stand against the rest of the league in Facebook. This is ranked by likes. So you're top 10, and your main competitors are actually much smaller markets, but it really doesn't apply compared to you are above the league average by far. 68% of the U.S. uses Facebook. 88% of those users are 18 to 29 years old. As you can see, there's a huge, it covers all demographics. So that was part of why Facebook was, we're touching on Facebook, but you have so many fans of so many different ages, shapes, sizes on Facebook that it's really hard to appeal to everyone. So we just gave some general feedback and some key takeaways moving forward. And then fun fact down here is that only 57% of Gen Z, so the lowest percentage of all users on Facebook, is from the next gen. So they are not entertained by Facebook. They don't find it a good way to share content, versus our generation uses it to save photos and to share content. So Twitter power rankings, once again, right outside the top 10, it's 1.47 million followers, so it's pretty solid. And then you're, once again, above league average, so a lot less people use Twitter. But it is more heavily used by the 18 to 29-year-old demographic. As far as Instagram ranking goes, you do Instagram very well. Instagram is where you guys shine. So you have 1.4 million followers there. And once again, the number is lower here in terms of users. So only 28% of the U.S. uses Instagram, but you can see that number of 59% is really high of 18 to 29-year-olds that use it. And obviously, you're way above league average on this. YouTube. So YouTube's a bit different. YouTube is, I think this is partially due to the fact that you guys have a lot of video capability within your website. So YouTube's almost like a secondary location for video, which could be why you're in that 17 spot. So quick platform analysis here of YouTube. 74% of 18 to 34 year olds prefer content that's created by brands and companies. So they really like content created by people, but they also really enjoy content that's given to them by a brand or a team. So very few of them actually are watching movies, seasons, or TV shows on YouTube. So this is the only platform that we found that you guys are below the league average. So we'll go ahead and jump in. So we're gonna go Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and then look at all your other digital offerings. So first off, we're just gonna start with some Facebook content. So you guys do a few things very well. You push news, this JPP, that got really good engagement. This one over here, the fan-focused content, that's really good. That's really tough for some people. And then here's some great areas that I think you guys can improve. So there tends to be a lack of humor, a lack of general like engagement with, like we said, this generation and next generation really enjoys humor. So this is a great photo, but the caption just kind of falls flat. And using words to enhance the experience of the image rather than it sometimes tends to drag it down within Facebook. And something that we found very interesting was that your social buzz is something that is including content from all of your social platforms, but it doesn't do well on your social platforms. So there's some sort of disconnect there. and this graphic right here is something that could have been really compelling, but it falls flat. It's a very boring, just four headshots. Here's what they used to look like. Tell me a story, give me more information there. So our Facebook feedback is use this to inform and entertain different people on Facebook, and that's why you can get good interaction, because it doesn't have to always appeal to those two generations. And then utilize this for shareable content. I think pretty much every team in every league falls short of this and sharing those feel-good moments, because Facebook is the most shareable platform. So you can retweet all you want on Twitter, but eventually it disappears. Facebook, for some reason, you can find a video that was posted 10 years ago, and people are still sharing it. So that's where people share video, share content, and it sticks. So those community outreach stories and all those feel-good stories that make your brand look better are perfect for Facebook, because I might not be a fan of the Giants, but if I see a cool video of something you guys did in the community, I might share it, because that's how people connect on Facebook. So off of that, it's not just about the news. Don't just push news at people. Create a conversation. Make sure that they feel like they're involved. And incorporate unique content through video. You can do that through those stories that I was just talking about, or any sort of other behind-the-scenes content. People like to see that kind of stuff on Facebook. So something we recently touched on a good bit is using Facebook Live. I don't know if you guys have started utilizing that much at all, but just some quick uses of it. Breaking news, question and answers with players, GMs, whatever it may be, hot topics, performance, something like that. Just, get Odell out there just doing whatever he does. do some demonstrations on stuff. Something I think is a cool concept is the watch with concept. So being able to, and I think a lot of teams have done this, where you get to watch some sort of feedback that they're getting from their coach or player. You're getting to experience that with them. So do that on the live platform rather than a recorded edited video. It's cheaper. It's more interactive. It's better way for people to ask their own questions when they're watching. It's a great space for interviews and, as always, behind the scenes. But so some best practices we found. We looked across all leagues, all teams, anything we found that was very interesting. So this first one over here, the caption's just very clever. Your ho, 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 five in a row from the Packers. And then the San Francisco 49ers content up top, I think the thing that sticks on that one is the number of shares on it. Obviously, it was a big, big moment for them, but also there's good use of emojis, a good use of, it's short, it's sweet, you get the point, what's going on in that photo. This one's probably my favorite. This is the Steelers, and it's just standing for something. It's, people like to share, it's exactly what I was talking about. People like to share 10,000 shares, 57,000 reactions to that, because people like to see those feel-good stories, and they like to feel like they're experiencing something unique. So another place to touch is player-created content. You guys don't really do much of this in terms of sharing stuff that your players are creating, showing those kind of behind-the-scenes moments instead of creating your own. So your players are what people are interested in. So your players are your best assets. So if they're creating cool content and they're traveling and they're doing something like behind the scenes, share that. That's what people want to see. They want to feel like Odell Beckham Jr. is their best friend, and they can travel around the world with him via Instagram. And there's power in simplicity. Both these captions, it's just a photo of the Steelers stadium. Like, but this loving that view with the heart eye emoji got it 24,000 likes. I'm not really entirely sure why, but it works.
It also had 360 capabilities when you click that.
Yes, see? And does cool stuff. And then this this one, I don't know if you guys agree with this. This was much clearer than it. So it's not in his birdhouse. So, you know, just like clever things, make it fun, but there's power and simplicity in captions. And cute little kids are always a good idea. So we'll touch on Twitter. Twitter is a space I think you guys have a lot of room to improve. I think there's, you guys do some great things, but I think Twitter's hard. Because you feel like you always have to be having a conversation, but you also have to make sure that you're providing people with good content. So one of my favorite things you guys did was during the draft last year, the images, I'm sure you guys know what that top one is, where they start in their jersey, and then the big blue jumps on them. I don't know how to describe it. It's a cool gif. And then, once again, always highlighting community impact. I think that's a good space, because we found that the Millennials and Gen Z both want, both like teams that are working and doing things in their communities and showing that to the world. This is a great use of emojis in terms of leading up to the draft. There was a lot of other comments that kind of covered it, but I do think that was a good space. And then we'll touch a bit more on this Party City situation, but I do think that you know, your post-game graphics with the Giants win is pretty cool. This hurts me inside. This is the same story, different photos, different links, but it's the same thing because one's a video and one's a story. This is the exact same image back to back on your Twitter feed. I'm assuming you probably have another image of somebody holding up a jersey on a draft day. And then this one, different caption, same image back to back, and then this one's the same thing. So for me, there's a lot of space, and obviously a lot of times it's the way Twitter rolls, it's you don't necessarily see it like this, but when you can go onto someone's page and scroll through and see that they're sharing the exact same content back to back to back within the same day, this one was like within minutes of each other, I want to say. So just being aware of what that looks like when you're scrolling through a feed instead of just looking through the full draft day content or whatever it may be. This one was probably one of my favorites, this Seinfeld situation over there. So both generations we touched on connect really well with GIFs and video. To me, one of the most important things, and we'll touch on this a good bit later, is connecting with pop culture references. Our both generations really, really fun, like whatever is funny and whatever the coolest GIF or coolest meme is right now, you need to be finding ways to incorporate that because everybody else is. So I think that GIF was hilarious. I really like this comic theme you guys had going on. It's creative, it's interactive, I think it was cute. And then, obviously, anytime you can talk about winning a Super Bowl, you do it. I wouldn't know about that, so. I'm from Atlanta, so it's been a rough go at things. You'll see a bit of that moving forward. you'll see a good bit of that. So this to me, you know, I get that it's post-game and you want to share what people are saying, but do it more creatively. Once again, if you're just pushing that people are saying words, like that just, it's not engaging. This one right here, you've got a cool stat, but an essay to talk about it. Like, make it short, make it sweet, make it pop. Up here, this is the Party City thing. I really think you're missing the mark of the way you could really get people involved. Hashtag that is like when you guys win, it's hashtag Giants Party. Then you can see how everyone else is celebrating the win with you guys. Instead of it just being in that locker room space. I don't know what the deal is with them or how that whole sponsorship works, but I do think that'd be a great way for your people to engage and join that conversation and be a part of that post-game win experience. And then some of your video content, which Abby will speak on in a little bit, it's when you share it, it doesn't land. You push it and nobody's watching it. I don't know if there's some sort of disconnect there, and I think Abby will speak on a good bit of why that might be, but it just seems as if when you're trying to get people to watch your TV shows and watch your videos that you're posting online, it's you're not getting that traction, especially through certain media outlets, especially Twitter. So, feedback here, future fan. You need to, once again, minimize that repetitive quoted content. It's as you saw, it's when you are doing it in the moment, and you don't realize that it's back-to-back. When you're looking at it through the feed, it's pretty clear. Sometimes there's a lack of reference point when there's no image and you have a quote. Sometimes there's a couple moments and when it wasn't a post game, but there was just a quote out of the blue from Ben McAdoo. I don't know what he's talking about, I don't know who he's talking about, but this happened occasionally. Something that I think, put an image to it, make it clear, maybe put the quote on the image, make it somehow relatable. It does seem that you guys don't ever seem to retweet your players that often. The only retweets that you do have come from the official NFL account. So if you're wanting to create a conversation with your fans on Twitter, you have to let them feel like they're a part of your brand. Because if you're keeping them out, obviously you have to protect yourself in a certain way, and you can't just retweet everything. But in letting people feel like they have a say in what the Giants are telling the world makes people feel important, and I'll touch on that in a second. So also tag other non-player accounts. So there's sometimes you tag your players, sometimes you don't tag your players. The only other people that I've ever seen tagged on your Twitter account are your radio guys. So finding a way to interact with people outside of your team would be a good way to start that conversation in an outside space. One lack of consistency with the quotes. Sometimes you got the quotes, then the hyphen with the name. Sometimes you got this with the words. Sometimes they're on an image. So just finding a way for you guys to keep that voice consistent when you're talking about what people are saying about the Giants. Something that we found was, obviously you use hashtag Giants Pride, and that's a big part of what you guys do, but hashtag Giants gets cluttered up with a lot of San Francisco stuff. There's a lot of San Francisco Giants content out there. So obviously you guys are much smarter than we are in this space, but sometimes maybe even just that, like the NYG, NY Giants, something to differentiate yourself, so that when you're looking at the hashtag Giants, you're not getting, especially this time of year, all you're going to be getting is San Francisco. You're not going to be getting the content people are looking for. So obviously that would be a massive shift, but I do think it's something to think about moving forward. Twitter best practices. This is where my Atlanta comes in. So the Hawks are probably one of the best teams on Twitter. They do an amazing job engaging with fans. They did a Hawks fan takeover where the only content that the Hawks actually tweeted during the game was their sponsor content. Everything else was just retweets from fans. So the fans led the commentary of the game. Because the Hawks are known for being clever, being funny, having a lot to say about what's going on in the game, but they let the fans have that moment to shine. So letting your fans feel like they have a say in what is happening on that social space is huge. This is one of the funniest things that I think they do. After every game, they tweet this out with a new emoji to describe the way the season's going. So this is 5, 6, 7 games in a row that, oops, we lost. So, oh, we won again. So things like that, that's clever, it's funny, it's catchy, it's got those emojis that apparently Gen Z only communicates with. So adds that element. And then one more Hawks moment. I don't know if you guys have seen this video of this guy doing this dunk. It looks almost fake, but it is amazing. So you gotta capitalize on those moments. You have to find those funny things, like the fan in the stand that's doing that crazy dance. Like, share that with the world. Share that, because people want to feel like they're a part of something. And they want to feel like, you know, maybe that's them at the next game they get to go to. So, this was unbelievable. He does this weird crazy dunk on a trampoline, and he dances all across the floor and bounces on his butt. You should look it up. It's unbelievable. So, also joining in community conversations. So, the Seahawks, when Gonzaga went to the championship game, being a part of something other than just yourself. You guys did a good job of that with the NHL last year. So engaging with something that's happening within your state, within your space, without it being too much. This is where kind of the humor comes in. So this is a good one. I don't have much to say there. And then once again, the Atlanta Hawks, just, you know, being clever and letting people see that there's more to social media than just me telling you what I want you to hear about our team. So, like, being funny, being clever, like this one right here, this is a retweet from one of their players. When you forget it's April Fool's Day and you fall for every prank possible, you know, you're upset, whatever. This conversation right here, you guys guys probably heard about the NBA telling their teams to be nice to each other on social media. So the Atlanta Hawks and the Sacramento Kings had a nice little conversation saying, yeah, Sir Foster's fired. Kind of like those baby blue throwbacks. And then they said, don't even get us started on your jerseys. That lime green is special. So they went back and forth, and they were witty. They had that conversation, and then what is it? The Hawks said, we like to call it Volt, but you can call it Lime, whatever you want. We're good with it. So just being clever, being witty, and interacting with other teams during that game space can work. So your Instagram content, like I said, you guys do pretty well on Instagram. It's a good space for you guys. Obviously, you're in a large market, so you get a lot of that from that space. But here you're highlighting community impact again. The content you guys had around this fitness expo was really great. had to block out some comments here. People say some strange things on Instagram. but so these top two were kind of jumping in on those holidays. So like High Five Friday or whatever it may be. So those excuses to create content that's not necessarily sports related. It's got your players involved. It's got your team involved. But it's a story you can tell. This might be one of my favorite things, and I don't think I've actually seen it again. This Toe Drag Tuesday was actually really clever. I think there's something there. But one thing I did notice, it's not really as abundant here. The only thing you really use in terms of emojis on Instagram normally is a football. So get creative, try some new things. A lot of times, and when you do use them, you use the same ones over and over again. Like during the draft, there was like a football and a phone, a football and a phone. Every image had a football and a phone. So find a new way to engage and create something new for them. These aren't staged, but you know, there's a lot of ways to go about doing this. Make a video of them walking into the locker room for the first time. Do something that's different than them taking a photo in the hallway, like, I made it. Because that's like, it's not organic, it doesn't feel good, it doesn't give you that behind the scenes, like, oh my gosh, this is exciting for them experience. Once again, this is similar to that other stat we talked on, that it's cool that he had a great game, but I don't want to read all that. Find a way to make those numbers pop. Find a way to make it speak to me instead of having a bunch of words on it. And this is something we touch on a good bit, is on all those images, we get that you want people to follow you, and we get that you want that conversation to be started, but you use the hashtag Giants Pride on the image, but rarely do you actually use it in the copy. So people can't actually join that conversation with you because you're not using that space. So we all know how hashtags work. Like, you can click on the hashtag and you can follow along with it. But a lot of the time, the hashtag is in the image and not actually in the conversation. So we get that that's you guys trying to push how you want them to interact with you and how they can communicate with you. But it would be good to use that more readily if that's what you're wanting to have people join your conversation with. Quick feedback here. You also don't do any type of score graphics or any final game graphics on Instagram, unless I missed them somewhere along the way. Nope, okay, all right. so I understand that sometimes it's not necessarily the most compelling content, and when you lose, it sucks because you'd be like, well, that's the end of that one. But informing your fans maybe that are not, like, maybe weren't watching your game and they don't get access to your game, it's a good way to make sure that they're following you on all different platforms. Behind-the-scenes content, this is a good space for that. You can obviously use a lot of video. There's a lot of space for that. We talked about using different emojis instead of just using the football. Find a way to incorporate them into your captions a bit more. I do think that Instagram is a good place for exclusive content that's only for Instagram. It's a special space that's only for photos and images, images and videos. So what can you be telling in that space? Because you want people to follow you on every platform. You don't want them to just follow you. If you follow you on Twitter, you pretty much get everything. So if you can provide people with some sort of exclusive content that entices them to follow you on Instagram as well, that's extra content. I know that you guys obviously have limited resources and all of that, but I do think that just a couple little things here and there can really make your Instagram pop even more. Repetitive photo use. So in a space that is just photos and videos, you still do the same stuff that you do on Twitter and use the same image over and over again. So it's one of those things that on Twitter you can maybe get away with it from time to time because it does go on a feed and it kind of scrolls up and you get past it. But on Instagram, the whole purpose of Instagram is images and photos. So if you're using those same images, what does that say? You have a lot of stock photos. You've got a lot of images. You've got a lot to work with. So find a new way to utilize those. Even if it's pushing the same link or trying to push the same content, find a new way to use a different image to do that. And then, as you guys probably already know, the more Odell Beckham Jr. you can get in your life, the better, because people love him. It doesn't matter if you tag him or not. If he is in something you're doing, people react to it. So the more you can get him involved, obviously, the better, but you don't want to overdo it. So you guys have a good balance for now, but the more you guys can get him involved, especially in behind-the-scenes type stuff, the better off you'll be. So this is something we loved, the Bitmoji. So the Dallas Cowboys did this past year. This is obviously not the Bitmoji, but they created these little images of their players, and they used them throughout the season when they would do something. So it's just a creative way to interact, and it's unique and different, especially with a player like Odell Beckham Jr. He's so identifiable in this space. So utilizing that to create a new platform for conversation. So here's where my Atlanta shows. This was, I don't know if you guys were watching this at all, but obviously we had an amazing season this past year, and that's a little bit biased, but this was an unbelievable campaign they had. Everyone bought in, everyone was a part of it, and it was, if you buy into some sort of hashtag, some sort of campaign, it can work. Obviously it doesn't necessarily mean results on the field, but I think that every single one of these had over 20,000 likes. And it's just this, and this was all within 1 week. So people really reacted to how you can make that, you can feel like a fan, because that in brotherhood, you can feel like a fan but be a part of it. And you can be a part of what they're doing. Like, we focus, we appreciate, we fight, like those kinds of things, you feel like you're part of that conversation. So finding a way to make your fans feel as if they are a part of the team and they can interact as a part of the team. So some other best practices. I really liked this content from the Cowboys. That's not something you ever really get to see, is this draft card. That's pretty cool. And it provides that extra element of feeling like you're getting personal behind-the-scenes content from them. Emotional appeal, I mean, obviously you can't look at that and not get excited for somebody. That's just pulling on those images, using hot, like, great quality images. And then there's always a good space to thank the fans. Without the fans, you guys wouldn't be here. So finding a way to constantly let them feel like you are grateful for them and they're giving you something, that's always a good space to be. And then I really liked this Tide Our Colors ad that they had going on. It was a cool interactive way to kind of, and it was also a video, for them to, you get to see the players firsthand. So YouTube content, we talked about this briefly. YouTube, you guys don't really utilize as much because you guys have such great video capability within your website. So it almost kind of creates a conflict sometimes. So obviously you have to use YouTube to push some content through your social. That's why it exists. But so this was really cool what you guys did at the Pro Bowl. I don't know if there was Snapchat spectacles involved at some point, but I do know there was a GoPro video, a lot of different things going on there. For me, I've spoken to Mike about this. The radio show is just, it's not working on Twitter, and it doesn't work on YouTube, clearly. Have 127 views when you have, 3,000 plus followers, so people aren't interested in that in this space. For me, it's the radio guys stay in the radio space, and that's what they do, because that's that demographic, and it's just a different space, and it's a different place, because I listen to both those radio broadcasts you sent over, and I just don't. I think it's that space that people exist in when they're in the car on the way to the game or on the way to go see the game or watch it with somebody else, but it's not ever a space that they're going to be actively in and listening to, because, as Kelly touched on, we have an 8-second attention span. So when you're sitting there and you've got, there's talking, it's really hard. But this Know Your Giants content is actually really great, and Abby will actually touch on that in a second. So quick feedback there. One of the things I'm really still confused about is you've got a Giants Life on YouTube and Giants Life on television, two completely different shows, but they're named almost the same. I don't, obviously, sometimes it doesn't really cause a conflict, but there's got to be more words out there. So make sure you're pivoting that content to avoid any competing things. There's a pinned video up there that's right now is from 7 months ago. So because you can like keep content that's on the front page, keep that updated because you are uploading video all the time. But make sure that you keep what you want people to see up front and center, and not some video from 7 months ago. So including short entertaining videos. So a lot of times you've got videos that are 5, 6, 10 minutes long, and no one's watching that. It's you've got to make it quick, make it short, make it compelling. And make it so that it's, you know, 2 minutes at most, and it's something that's moving fast. And then the account's not verified, technically, I don't think. So a lot of them, all the other teams in the league have a little check mark next to theirs saying that this is the official one, and I don't believe yours does. So I think that's a good space for you to go ahead, and that will expedite your growth probably to some degree, and help with that content as well. So during the Cubs parade, they had a 360 virtual reality view, so you could follow along as they're going down the road, and you can see Chris Bryant raising the trophy from any angle you wanted to. So you can see this was all from the same video feed, and this was you got to rotate yourself. So obviously you got to embrace new technology and be a part of what's changing. So being able to look, it's almost as if you were on that float with them. So you got to experience what they were experiencing on that parade, and that's not something that everybody can say. So giving people that experience is really cool. So best practices, once again, get little kids involved. They're so cute. But this video, they did a Nope Stop Fraud night recently, the Golden State Warriors did. And this was a story about a mom who'd saved up all her money so her and her son could go to a game. And they got to go to the game and they got, you know, courtside tickets, and they followed them the whole time. They had these courtside tickets and got to hang out with Steph Curry, and he met the whole team, and he gave him a bunch of shoes and like all this stuff. So those kinds of stories are what really get, like, that one had like 6 million views or something on it. So that's what people want to see. They want to see those feel-good stories. And then obviously always taking fans behind the scenes. People want to see what players are doing, and I think that's part of what your goal was with some video content, which I think we're about to get to. There you go.
So I'll give Katie Lee a little bit of a break now. And really what we wanted to do is give you guys a comprehensive look at everything you're doing. So we moved into some of your other digital offerings, looking at what you're doing on the web, a little bit more social, as well as what's happening on your RSN. So just wanted to touch on a few of those offerings, not everyone. But the first two, Know Your Giants and One Giant Question, I think are two of your best, things that you're doing really well. The Know Your Giants, you're getting such good engagement on, and like Haley just said, when you're kind of pulling fans behind the scenes, almost pulling back the curtain for them, you're letting them see the personalities of players, and you're letting them get to see what they know about each other. You're learning more about the individuals. Fans really react well to that. The One Giant Question, again, you're getting like 1,000 to 1,200 comments every time that you're posting these, because like we've said, fans want to be a part of the conversation. And when a player is asking them something, then they get to comment, they get to participate, they're actively getting engaged with the content you're putting out. Social buzz, Kaylee already mentioned that a little bit, but you're getting decent views at times on that, but not as much engagement in terms of the comments and things there. One area that I think could be improved is really focusing on that community aspect, the philanthropy there. At times, the social buzz focuses too much on football. And we want to see content that isn't always football. So what are they doing, you know, outside of practice, outside of post-game things? We want to see a day in the life. So focusing on those philanthropy, the out in the community, what we're doing outside of just the game aspects. Giants life. So like Haley said, we have a couple different offerings, but this is specifically Giants life that we're talking about here. How this was marketed, at least in the description of the program, is trying to provide that the player's daily routine, the behind the scenes of the player, but what this ends up being a lot of times is highlights. Highlights from the most recent game, highlights from practice, and again, we want to see that content that's not always just about football. Especially the highlights here, a lot of times don't have commentary with them, and so it's just a highlight playing, but we're not getting any voiceover to that. like, what do we want to take away from this highlight? It's just an actual showing of the player, you know, doing whatever play that may be.
And that's on TV, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Just want to make sure.
So one example, I guess, of how you could kind of switch that out. So obviously
repurposing.
Yes.
So obviously this is on TV, but a different way you could kind of spin this is maybe you want to have a player do a Snapchat takeover on your account, and then it's actually from the moment they get up until game time, you are truly seeing what they're doing behind the scenes. It's they're getting up at their place, they're having their meal, they're, you know, doing whatever. That's actually behind the scenes and raw and what they're doing versus kind of formalized. The highlights in this nature.
Between that and then a lot of times it's you're talking behind the scenes and wanting to see what their daily life looks like, but half the time it's someone sitting in a car with a camera. So they're sitting in the car just watching them as they drive to there. That's not behind the scenes, that's just them in a car. Or them sitting at a desk, maybe in here, I'm not entirely sure. So sitting in here and they're doing like more of a like just a conversation with somebody, but it's the other side, it's just them talking. So creating that space where it is really truly behind the scenes is important.
And to that point, the conversation piece, so I don't know about you guys, but when I go out in public, I see many people talking to their phone, like in Snapchat and creating that video, versus when you're sitting at a table, like those younger individuals don't sit and have a traditional conversation like a lot of us do, and they want to have almost that screen conversation, seeing what's happening in that person's life versus the very formal, almost interview style. It seems kind of crazy, but that's how they're communicating. So the press conference and post-game, really what we wanted to mention here is, obviously we know this is a very natural extension of the football process, but these aren't the types of offerings that are going to engage with the demographics that you asked us to focus on, especially when they're so long. So having them be 45 minutes to an hour, that's just not what people are going to spend their time watching. I think, again, maybe an area of improvement would be posting more on Facebook that link to watch this, because there are some older individuals on that platform that would watch these offerings.
Be a good space for Facebook Live as well.
Yep. The Giants Access Blue, similar to Giants Life, again, there's a lot of highlights here from the game, and we want to see some alternate content. Give us a unique offering here, something that we haven't already seen in the highlights. If I'm a true Giants fan, I've probably already seen the highlights either on the game or on YouTube immediately after the game. You know, I don't need to see it later again in these offerings. And then factor fiction, so one good thing here, I do like that it's like a shorter offering, like a minute to a minute 30 at times. The time is good there, but again, we want to get people involved in the conversation. Maybe it is a Facebook Live, so that you can see people's comments on what you're saying and you can respond. Thanks, Adam, yeah, I agree, that's a good point, so that you're actually engaging with the fans. There we go. So here, just kind of following up with some of our general feedback. So again, the TV shows, like we mentioned, they aren't going to target those demographics that we're really trying to get to. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to just nix those programs, but just understand that those offerings aren't going to get certain individuals. So some of the content can come off dull, and I think, again, the reason that is because it's not getting those fans engaged. When you're just showing a video with highlights and things, that's not incorporating them into the conversation, and so it can come off very disengaging to the people on social media. Cannot compete with the news, so again, with the pregame, postgame, we've seen a lot of the younger generation really even disengaging with SportsCenter. They're struggling right now to how to reinvent themselves and make them appealing to this generation. And at times, some of the offerings can almost come off like a SportsCenter. You're recapping the game and things. And again, I already know what happened because I followed Twitter. I saw the exciting play on YouTube. So how to differentiate your content versus what's going to show on SportsCenter and some of your other offerings. Trying to think about ways that you can create that unique experience. Recapping information posted on social platforms. Again, kind of like we talked about, just differentiating your content through your various social channels, whether it's on the web or on your RSN, finding kind of unique little niches for everything, having a goal for what you really want to get done with your platforms. And then again, links not shared on social media. So with some of those demographics, like the post-game, the pre-game, link that to social so you can actually drive some traffic to that so you can start promoting those a little bit better.
All right, so we've just done a lot of things. So we'll sum it down into our top 10 that we think is probably your biggest key takeaways from this entire presentation. So a lot of times you use screenshots of video content to try to push them to a different platform to see it. There's easy ways to make that a short clip that maybe is quick enticing, gets them to maybe click that link more than a still shot of Odell Beckham Jr. sitting in a car.
Like a teaser.
Yeah, so some sort of teaser video that maybe you watch on Instagram and you're like, oh, that's cool, and then you go to the quick link in bio, and then you actually are more willing to follow through in that. Your lifestyle posts, you guys really push those heavily, but it seems like they're not timed right. You're pushing them at a time that it's like in the season, and you've got a bunch of other content you're trying to also get out there. So using those lifestyle posts as those filler spaces. So when it's Tuesday and you need something to push out on social that's not necessarily game-related, push your lifestyle content, because that's when people are looking for something that's not, they're away from the football for that portion of the day and that part of the week. So let them see who the players are and be involved in that lifestyle content. More authentic sponsor posts. So we talked on Party City. I think Party City is a great sponsor in that space, but Kelly can talk more about, they did some research on that one.
Yeah, so with that one, when we were doing a kind of a digital audit, we found that a lot of the sponsors, we'd see some on Facebook, and then we went and checked who some of the official partners were, and we felt like there was a bit of a disconnect. And so maybe whoever those top level partners are regarding their deals with social media, maybe make that more apparent rather than have that to the outsider seeming as if like who's the official partners versus who's just on the social media pages.
And then engaging and relevant pop culture references. We touched on this a little bit. Perfect example was like the Meryl Streep screaming thing. That's always like a funny way. As long if it's a cool meme, it's a cool GIF, it's something that people are sharing everywhere. Find a way for you guys to be in that conversation using whatever your voice may be. So, and one thing I think everyone kind of struggles with in social is don't just post a post. If you have something to say it, but if you don't. If there's nothing that you really need to share with the world, there's no reason just to put a bunch of stuff in Hootsuite and push go just because you feel like you need to be in that space.
I think that comes back to that great quote of it's not a science, it's an art.
So last five, remove the handles and the hashtags on the images. I get that you want people to follow you. We talked about that, and I think there's a lot of brands that do that in a less intrusive way. We just looked at some of the Falcons content, but I think a lot of college teams do a really good job of that as well. With I think the LA Kings is one we looked at, that they do those outlines on, so they can still brand their content, so they can claim it as their own, but they do it in a way that's less intrusive than that giant blue bar on the bottom with all their information on it. So, because you use that on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So finding a better way to brand that content as your own, but in a less intrusive way. So you can still, like I said, you know, there's that in brotherhood thing. If you find some sort of, like, even just Giants pride, find a way to include that in a part of your content without it being that big, bold hashtag in the bottom. Make more room for conversation. We spoke on this a lot. It's a lot of times people, you guys pushing information at people and pushing this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it. Make sure that you're letting people in and letting them feel like they're a part of what you're saying. More fan-generated and focused content. I think a lot of teams struggle with this because you want to highlight your fans and you're proud of them and you love them, but you don't do a great job of highlighting them. You guys do some man cave stuff and some behind-the-scenes things here and there, but finding a better way to interact with your fans by giving them the power. Let them generate the content. And show it off. Tell the world about all these cool things that your fans are doing.
And from that fan revolution study, a big takeaway was understanding where and wanting to post that right content. And as simple as that phrase may be, that's a good thing to conceptualize.
Less words, more emojis. The shorter and sweeter your captions can be, the better off you are. That's what people are reacting to. That's what people respond to the most. We've seen, and I'm sure there's statistics out there, but the shorter the caption is with the right emojis in the right places really makes a huge difference. And then something that I think overarches all of this is there's a lack of social voice. So everything is very newsy. Like, we are here today to tell you about this. Make it conversational. Make it feel like it's not you telling people, this is, like some of the captions, this is so-and-so making that catch. Just throw a fire emoji on it and send. Something like that. So to find that social voice and embrace the humor that both millennials and Gen Z love, because that's what makes people interact with you and embrace the content that you're sharing. So, thanks guys. Any questions?